All right, well, welcome back to another edition of Racing Hotspot. I'm Devin Poslesny, sitting alongside or across the table from me here is Mr. Jordan Jenkins. His microphone is on. But,
how are you, Jordan?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was waiting for that.
We'll track this back. Sitting across the table from me is Mr. Jordan Jenkins. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing so good, Devin. How are you?
Perfect. Glad I'm doing good. It's kind of a sunny day, 37 degrees. Snow's melting. Fields are drying. Racetracks are dry on weekdays, but
wet on the weekends. Yeah, Mother Nature is now 2-0 against Thompson for the Wheel of Modified Tour now because Saturday got postponed to next Wednesday. So hopefully the third time's a charm.
Hopefully.
But
so before we get into that, we're coming out of the Darlington race weekend for the NASCAR Xfinity and Cup Series. Formula One was running in Japan. We'll talk about that because it had a little bit of controversy.
Just a little bit between
Max Verstappen and Lando Norris on a certain pit release.
Yep,
we'll talk about that. But first, let's throw it over to Jordan with Short Track Saturday. Wow, live audience this week. Sorry, wow, go ahead.
Woo. man, we're getting bigger already.
Yeah,
but
room full of people. How you doing?
But as I said, Thompson got rained out for the first postponement for the NASCAR Modified Tour. They got moved it to next Wednesday, April 16th. So hopefully, the third time's a charm when they run it. So, this weekend I have another event. Hopefully, I don't even want to look at the weather because I don't want to. Because one, it's early, but two, I don't even want to be like, oh, cool, rain's coming again. Probably will, but
Sunday looks fine.
That's good. I will be at New Hampshire Motor Speedway this coming weekend. Not for NASCAR. A little too early for NASCAR to be coming here, but it'll be the fifth annual Northeast Classic, where it'll be the American Canadian Tour, the Pro All Star Series, the Evolve Pro Trucks, the Sunoco 604 Modifieds, which are just the Thompson Crate mods, and there will be Tour Type Modifieds as well. So. Six features. R&R Street Stocks as well. So six features, six divisions. The American Pro All-Star Series announced put out their entry list so far, and obviously they add as they go, but currently they have 16 cars on the entry list. Two of the big names there are DJ Shaw and Derek Griffith. Obviously two of the best super late model drivers in the New England, I'd say, probably in the Northeast.
Agreed.
So they're both on the entry list for this weekend at Loudoun, and the American Canadian Tour is showing why they are probably the premier touring series in New England, or in the Northeast, maybe even in the country, because their entry list has 40 entries. They have 40 late models are on the entry list for New Hampshire Motor Speedway this weekend. A couple of them, DJ Shaw also, he does both. Another one is, I don't know if our audience or even you, Devin, will remember this name, but he used to run in the truck series for Kyle Busch Motorsports. Rafael Lazard.
Yes.
Is on the entry list as well, so be nice. Cool to see him. Jake Johnson, a NASCAR Wheel Modified Tour driver, actually is running his late model. He's in the entry list as well. Other than that, just your usual...
usual suspects.
ACT competitors, yeah. Actually, Jacob Burns, who actually runs a legend car right now. Hmm. I think he's 15 or 16. He's on the ACT entry list. Derek Gluchacki, Jimmy Renfrew Jr. too. Tom Carey the third. I mean, Riley Lampfear, Peyton Lampfear, Alan Fellows, Aaron Fellows. I mean, Eric Sands. I mean, I'm not going to say all the entry list, but 40 cars, and it's really a talented field. I think pro trucks will get close to 20, I think, if I had to guess, maybe even over that, because that'll be our second race of the Super Speedway Series. But, yeah, Saturday is just a practice day from 11 to 4:15, and then on Sunday, Practice starts at 9:15. Qualifying races begin at 11 a.m. and follow that by the features. Well, I guess probably like 1 p.m. probably. Well, ECT is probably going to have like 4 or 5 heat races with 40 cars, but
a couple of races there.
Hopefully the weather's nice, and I looked, Saturday looks rainbow, Sunday looks good, so as long as something happens, because ACT and PASS, obviously, for a lot of people that don't know, run a lot of Thompson events.
Yep.
So, like, they run the Icebreaker, they run the World Thompson World Series, and they've had having a hard time with trying to get that wheel and modified tour race, and so hopefully they don't have to move this one as well. So, yeah, looking forward to that. I'll be calling the Evolve Pro Truck Tour race on Racing America as well. So, I'll be there all day on Saturday too. So, it's going to be weird being in the infield. And it's like, where's like Chase Elliott's car at? Oh, wait.
Wrong series.
Yeah. But it'll be good. There's going to be over 20 tour type modifieds too. So Andy Seiss is actually coming back up here to run. So that'll be fun. John McKennedy, Woody Pickett, or a couple of names. I know that I don't know if there's an entry list. I don't think they really post one, but I'm just going off based off modified drivers saying, oh, I'm coming. So I knew it. So I don't know. Should be a good weekend though of racing. Hopefully Mother Nature's actually nice this time. But, you know, it's race season, so, you know, you're always going to have rain anyway, so.
Ain't that the truth? Cool. Cool, cool, cool.
So it'll actually be my first time at the Northeast Classic, too. So, I almost went last year, but I ended up having to call a baseball game back when I was in school.
Yeah.
But, first time going this year.
It's a great event. It's fun, for sure. We did it a couple of years ago. We went with Emma Monahan for the pro trucks and did a recap type video for her and things like that. So it's definitely a fun event for sure. Definitely a fun event. Anything else for Short Track Saturday?
No.
All right.
Because that's the only thing going on this weekend.
Perfect.
I don't know yet, but I might go to the Thompson next Friday, Wednesday for the Wheel Tour. To get some interviews, because I had like 7 driver interviews lined up, and of course, you know, Mother Nature had other plans. So.
Of course.
So I might not. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, keep us posted.
I probably will, honestly.
Got nothing else going on.
Exactly. Well, actually, the Fish Cats are home. No. For those that don't know, I now work for the Fish Cats. So.
But, all right. So moving on. Then we'll talk Formula One
do that.
So your top three podium, or your podium, I should say, which was the top three, was Piastri was third, Norris was second, and Verstappen was first. He won from the pole. Suzuka is such a fun circuit. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's narrow, but it's windy, it's twisty, it's a fast, it's got some great corners. It's pretty cool. I like that circuit. The big controversy, or not honestly, I can't say big controversy. One of the talking points coming out of this race yesterday was you had a exit of pit road, between Norris and Verstappen. Norris goes off the racetrack. Got back on, but just went in the grass. Verstappen didn't really give him room. So let me paint the picture better. So we have a pit stop. They come in together. Norris has the first pit stall because McLaren won the Constructors' Championship last year. Verstappen somewhere else down pit road. Verstappen obviously pit first because Norris had to go further down pit road. So, long story short, they come out side by side, and Norris is right alongside Verstappen, and Verstappen runs the pit lane exit line. You know, he doesn't go all the way to the wall. He doesn't hug the inside line. He goes right down the middle, and Norris, right next to him, basically runs out of asphalt, drives onto the dirt, slows down, pulls in behind Verstappen, and the announcers more or less said, oh, that's the race. because Verstappen was going to take off. So when we look at the replay, I showed Jordan at the clips, you know, the argument could be made for both sides that Verstappen didn't give him room, but did he have to give him room?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, so it was kind of like one of those deals, like even the announcer said in the race that, you know, Verstappen could have been maybe a little bit more gentlemanlike and moved over and given him room, but in the world of sports,
you're trying to get any advantage you can.
I was going to say, you give your competitor an inch, they're going to
get more with that. And Verstappen knew if he didn't move, Norris was going to go into the grass, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean,
it would have been different, obviously, if Verstappen, like, turned into him, but obviously, in Formula One, he would have been penalized, like, pretty much instantly. So, right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Could he have moved? Yeah, obviously, but, I mean, I don't think he did anything wrong, you know? I mean, it's like that in NASCAR or any racing series. On live pit stops, you try to get any advantage you can.
Mm-hmm. And I think for me, the question that was on the table, because me personally, Verstappen did what every other driver did on pit exit. You know, he stayed in between the lines. He didn't go all the way one side or another. He was right down the middle, like every other driver. You watch Lewis Hamilton leave his pit stall and right down the middle. The thing for me that kind of, the question I had, I should say, on the table was, is that any different than, like, the cornering rule, which is if the driver behind, the trailing driver pulls alongside, and I think it's at the rear axle or at the side pod of the car, they have the line. So the outside driver can't just turn down. That's kind of the rule. Is that the same thing here? You know, like, Lando was next to him. So should Verstappen have moved over to give Lando the room? I get why he did it. You know, he was doing every other exit was. You know, you watch other drivers, they're not right up against the outside wall in pit road like NASCAR would. They're just in the fast lane. And the fast lane travels right back out into the racetrack. So I don't think there was anything wrong with what he did, but it just makes me wonder, you know, is that similar or is it not? You know, like, how's that go?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I mean, it's kind of like
it's an interesting area.
Yeah, definitely. Black and gray.
I mean, because more times than not.
Or black and white.
Black and gray. He's like 100% 50 person.
Yeah.
But because more times than not, you have cars coming on pit road either one at a time or the pit stops are one's a little slower. You know, like if Lando Norris does not have the first pit stall, he's going to filter right out behind Verstappen, right? But because he had that first pit stall to be able to launch and go, like we see in NASCAR, he was side by side with him. And normally, if you have two cars on pit road that are side by side, one's ahead, and that one, the other guy yields. But because they only had probably 50 yards, 100 yards to decide, they ran out of room to decide. So it's kind of one of those things that I feel like the stewards or the officials for a Formula One were like, we never had to police that before. You know, like that's a first. So I'd like to believe that they're going to have a conversation about that this week. If it was NASCAR, they would have already changed the rule. But and I'm not saying that in a mean way towards Formula One. I'm taking a jab at NASCAR there. But like NASCAR would have looked at that and said, okay, maybe we need to address something here for whether it be this week or future seasons. So I don't know. I know it's FIA who kind of oversees everything for Formula One. So I don't think it's like the officials for Formula One can go back and talk. It's kind of like somebody above them. But it's interesting to think about. So anyways, Verstappen wins. It's Verstappen and Norris right now battling for the championship over like the point standings, which is exciting because the last handful of years we've seen Verstappen kind of run away with the world title. So for him to have a little bit of a competitor, which is it's really good, especially since it's McLaren. I mean, let's go McLaren, get back into this. It's awesome to see them. Moving on here to NASCAR. What do you want to talk about first here? Do you want to talk about Cup or you want to talk about Xfinity? Because I feel like Xfinity, we have a little bit more to talk about. Not too much, though. So we can do Xfinity first.
Yeah, let's just do it, go in order that way. I feel like it would be way easier that way.
So the Xfinity race had some really good racing.
Yeah.
And I want to say this. I am very happy with how the series, I guess you could say, cleaned themselves up in a week. Because we had moments where, was it Chase Elliott and Ross Chastain were bumping each other, Chastain, I think, ran Christopher Bell up the racetrack. Like, I will admit, that race ended, and I was, like, watching pit road like a hawk. Like, I was like, who's going to fight? And it didn't happen. And you know what? I'm not disappointed in that. But I'm happy to see that the series, that this race was not just a dumpster fire.
Right.
That said, though, the three names I just mentioned were all Cup drivers.
Right.
So who knows if Chastain runs, you know, one of the younger Xfinity guys that way, if that Xfinity driver doesn't get out of the car and go after Chastain, which
we probably would not do that.
Probably wouldn't. But but regardless, the Xfinity race was good. It was competitive. And yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I thought, you know, that, I mean, that we beat a dead horse all the time, like, and that's just not just me and Devin, of course, but the Xfinity package is, like, perfect. Mm-hmm. The races, when they come to Loudon, are good. Like, I don't know. Like, they just always put on a good show, besides Martinsville last week. But, I mean, very racy. I mean, you had guys that aren't usually up at the front. I mean, just in stage one, I mean, Harrison Burton won the stage. I mean, he's been showing a lot of speed in that car. But, I mean, Brendan Poole finished third in the stage. Kyle Sieg fourth. Alfredo fifth. Josh Balicki was eighth. It was just like, wow. It's stage two. I mean, it was your usual guys that were up there. But, I mean, Xfinity Series, the throwbacks, I thought, looked more like throwbacks in the Cup Series.
Yep.
Like, Chase Elliott's throwback didn't even have the right – was gray. It was, like, green and gray, and it was supposed to be green and black. And it was, like, what?
Yep.
But, I mean, Carson Quapel, I mean, he has all the talent in the world he did last year. But him finishing fifth Saturday, was pretty good. Probably give that team a lot of confidence. I mean, but Brandon Jones, his first win in almost 3 years. Well, I guess 3 years, yeah, because his last one was in 2022, but – you know, definitely a much-needed win for him, I feel like. Because obviously a lot of people were kind of on him because in 2 years of JRM, he really couldn't do much. So
right.
He goes back to JGR where he could win, and he wins. But Justin Allgaier, I mean, he finished third. He won back-to-back races. I feel like he's finished in the top 10 in every single race.
I think it is fantastic in how he's running, and I think that part of that is the championship last year. Oh. I think winning the championship last year gave him a boost of confidence and I also think it kind of took the monkey off his back, because there have been – how many years was he in the championship for, if not the semifinals, and something happened or something outside of his control? Like, so after a while, it beats on you, like wears on you.
I just looked. So – all guys finished this year. He finished 18th at Daytona, started on the pole, second at Atlanta, finished 29th at the Circuit of the Americas. I don't remember what happened with him there. Phoenix, he finished 5th, which was another race he probably, you know, Phoenix is always going to bite him. He always feels like he has the best car, but something always happens near the end. Obviously won at Vegas, then won at Homestead the next week, 3rd at Martinsville, and then third day yesterday or Saturday. So, I mean, that's,
I think that
that's five top fives in a row.
I think that for a driver who wins a championship, it gets to the point where once you win a championship, it kind of like solidifies in your mind that you do know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And when that happens, for some drivers, they can relax. You know, like Allgaier, he knows that if his gut feeling is saying this, then it's right. You know, prior to the championship, if his gut feeling said this, he might be like, "Ew, you be sure?"
Connor.
So I think he's. I think that's it.
And Connor Zillich finished sixth at Darlington, and that was a good. That's actually his best finish that besides Circuit of the Americas where he won. So good finish for him on an oval, because obviously we all know road courses is going to be the driver to watch. Ovals was more what he's learning, because obviously he drives in IMSA.
Yep.
So that's all pretty much road courses. Actually, he does all road courses, street courses, whatever it may be.
Yep.
But, you know, he's not really the oval guy. So him finishing sixth at a track like Darlington, that's really tough, obviously, is really good for him. I mean, JRM's on a roll. Mm-hmm. All their cars finished in the top 10.
Not bad.
Jones was third, Chastain fourth, Quapel fifth, Zillich sixth, and Sammy Smith ninth. JRM's probably, I mean, obviously, I mean, RCR is there too with Austin Hill and Jesse Love, but JRM is the team to beat right now, which they usually are, but I don't think they've ever had four cars just on a tear like this, like at the same time. Yep. So.
No, I agree. I agree. It was a really good Xfinity race for sure. Not exactly the what was to come.
No.
For the Sunday race.
No. There was a race on Sunday?
There was. Oh. So William Byron won stage one, won stage two, led every lap.
Yeah, I didn't watch this whole race because I got back from the Fish Cats game. Like, I think I go home, watch the Red Sox walk it off on St. Louis, which I got there like the bottom of the ninth. So it was like perfect timing. Well, they won in the 10th, but, you know, same thing. But, and then by the time I turned it on, it was like 50 laps ago on stage two. And I looked, and I saw Byron was still in the lead, so I'm like, okay, haven't missed much. So I just saw Byron leading. I just missed Byron leading the first 3,000 laps.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Byron's car was really good, obviously, but I don't know if it was just the car, if it was just, once again, the car.
Yeah, I mean, he was on rails, and I think that... If you give Byron another 10 laps, he gets by Hamlin, right? Hamlin took off on that short run, but from what I saw, Hamlin's long run was there.
Hamlin had a really good long run car.
Yeah, but I think Byron's long run car might have been that much better.
I don't know, though, because by the time Byron got past Bell, Hamlin was way out there.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying.
But that's also Darlington, too. You race side by side, you ain't going to gain ground on the driver in front anyway. But
that's what I'm saying. Like, I think as soon as he got by Bell, if he had another 10, 15, maybe 20 laps, he might not have won. But I think it would have been closer than...
Yeah, that was definitely... I feel bad for Ryan Blaney, though. And I'm a Denny Hamlin fan, so obviously I'm ecstatic that Hamlin won back-to-back. But... I mean, Blaney had just taken the lead past, I think it was past Byron or Bell.
Hold on.
I forget who Blaney passed for the lead. It was one of the two.
I don't remember.
I'm going to assume Byron probably. Or no, he passed Reddick.
Byron finished 22nd yesterday.
Byron finished second.
Yeah, I'm confused.
Yeah, Byron finished second. But... Oh, he passed Tyler Reddick, because I forgot Tyler Reddick, after the green flag pit stops, had the lead.
NASCAR.com is not up to date.
I'm looking on the NASCAR app, and it has it.
I know, but I'm just saying, it still says that we're going to Darlington this weekend, NASCAR.com.
Oh. Well, cool.
So, apologies.
Can we not go to Darlington again this weekend?
My apologies for missing that.
But, as soon as Blaney passed Reddick for the lead, the caution came out. Which, you know, sparked, I don't know if it was, I guess people consider it controversy.
We'll talk about that.
But, I mean, Hamlin's crew is one of the best in NASCAR for a reason. I mean, they got him out, that was probably one of the quickest pit stops I've seen out of any team this year. A lot of people may have said he sped to be the leader, but also at the same time, he was up to pit road speed. The other cars that he passed weren't at the same time.
Right.
But even if he did, I mean, you know, credit to Denny Hamlin because, you know, the S&T data on pit road wasn't working, so they don't know. And unless it's obvious, you know. But, I mean, This was like a more classic Hamlin win. Like Martinsville, you know, he won dominating fashion, which isn't like him. I mean, his car was on rails at Martinsville, but this is more of a Hamlin win. Be there, run top five all day, and be there at the end. Because Richmond was going to be the same thing in the fall when the Austin Dillon thing happened. He was top 10, and all of a sudden, Hamlin's all at the front. I mean, Hamlin started third. And he didn't get stage points in stage one, but stage two, he finished third. After that, he was top three, top five the rest of the way. Well, other than, like, green flag pit stops, obviously. But once that cycle through, he was back up there. But, yeah, nothing much to talk about in this race. This race kind of sucked.
Well, we have things to talk about.
Right.
So,
that being said, Kyle Larson and Bubba Wallace.
So, okay, yeah. So, this was the, what, last caution of the day?
Yeah, this was, like, four laps to go. Larson's 170 laps down, 165 laps down, 150 laps down, something
so
like
Larson,
that.
So, Larson wrecks on lap four.
Yes. In the same spot he wrecked on four laps in.
Larson wrecks again, four to go.
Yeah. Something with four laps to go in turn two for Larson Darlington doesn't work it.
So,
Laps in, four laps to go. Larson, same spot, boom.
So, I'm seeing on social media people are tearing Larson apart because the data and everything showed that Larson had fresher tires, got by Bubba Wallace, and then hit the brakes.
Well, I saw a lot of people criticizing Bubba because he's like, oh,
yeah,
why you do that?
Well, so that's what I'm saying.
Because a lot of people were like, oh, Bubba Wallace helping his boss because obviously, you know, Bubba Wallace drives for Denny Hamlin. But at the same, other people were also like, you know, like I knew I didn't know. It was easier to tell, like, once NASCAR posted the video what happened. Because, obviously, Fox, they didn't, you know, it's weird. Because sometimes, you know, they're talking over it, so you can't tell. But it's clear as day. You can tell Larson going off the gas. Obviously, Reddick hit the wall in front of him, but Larson wasn't directly behind Reddick. Like, they were using two different lines.
So
Reddick was, up against the wall. Larson was on the inside.
So we're talking about the thing I threw at you this morning, which was right in front of Larson on the high line is when Reddick hit the wall off turn two. My thought was, and I'm not saying this is what happened, but my thought was that maybe Larson sees him hit the wall, checks up, because historically at Darlington, when you pancake the wall, you're coming down, whether you're coming down or spinning out. So you've seen multiple.
Not recently at Darlington, though. I mean, I think they kind of like 50 Darlington stripes, and every car that hit the wall didn't bounce off. It just
but turn two's wall does jut back out on the straightaway.
Yeah, but
so if you hit at the right point, you hit that, and then you. So my point is, this was the thought, was did Larson see that and check up? Now, you showed me the video.
It looks like Larson's off on the brake before Reddick, just before Reddick hits the wall.
Yep.
And obviously, he's not. I don't think he's there. He's like, oh, Reddick's going to hit the wall. Let me, you know. I mean, when I say classic Rick Hendrick.
Don't get into the conspiracies.
I'm not going to get into the conspiracies. But obviously, a lot of people on social media were like, you know, everyone knows Rick Hendrick. He has plans of how. Because, you know, Byron had the best car. This isn't the first time we've seen something that plays into effect that tries to benefit Hendrick. You know, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, Larson did it on purpose, but it is kind of weird that he just, because, you know, that's not a breaking. I don't even know if there's a breaking zone at Darlington.
Well,
they just go off the gas, but I don't think they really go on the brake.
If there are any braking zones, it's entering the corners, not exiting turn two.
So he's exiting turn two. He's on the back stretch, and then he slams on the brakes. Bubba's pretty much right behind him. So everyone's like, oh, Bubba still could have lifted. And it's like, you didn't really have much time.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, it's definitely weird. I don't have a firm opinion on it.
I don't either.
Like, my thought with the Reddick thing was just trying to make sense of it. It wasn't, like, looking for an excuse. It was just like,
is
this what happened, or how'd that go?
Because even if Larson does think Reddick's going to bounce off the wall, come down, that whole race, cars are heading that same spot, and they never came. They just scraped the wall, and they came back. Mm. You know, they bounced off lightly, but it wasn't like a, oh, he's gonna spin out. Mm. Because really all the spin-outs were not even touching the wall.
Right.
Which was like, I think it was like two. It's right. been three, maybe. I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah.
So let me ask
you. At least the ending was exciting, but that doesn't give me the race was good, because, you know, I want it to be like action, like, you know,
race to be good.
Right.
Right.
But at least the ending was good, because, man, if there was no caution there, oh, shit, gross.
So let me ask you this. This was Darlington's throwback weekend, as you mentioned, with some of the paint schemes and all that. The first year they did this, which was probably, what, 2015, 2016? It was awesome.
Yeah.
Teams went all out. You know, we had all these different things. Paint schemes, like, drivers would show up in the retro fire suits, and the teams had the retro stuff. Like, it was awesome. Now,
the throwbacks are like, okay.
The paint schemes are...
Like, the one...
There's a couple that are good. Like, Kyle Larson's this week, awesome.
Yeah, the one that... And that one, like, looked really, like, identical because, like, you know, the Frosted Flakes. I'm calling it the Frosted Flakes car.
Mm-hmm.
That he threw back to.
Mm-hmm.
Had a blue hood too, mm-hmm. So obviously he didn't have the same sponsor on the hood, but you know, you can still pull off the HendrickCars.com blue hood. It looked good. It sucked that, you know, the car was pretty much out of the race for most all of it.
But
I mean, William Byron's looked good too. It looked the same as Diff Gordon's throwback, or not throwback, but his final ride. But mm-hmm. at the same time, William Byron has all Jeff Gordon's throwback all his schemes all the time. His flame one is identical to Gordon's flame one.
Yeah.
So it's like Byron's was like identical, but you know, it was the same team. So I feel like it's easier for Hendrick to do that. Larson's was a good one. Barry had a good one.
So here's my thing. When we started this, NASCAR or whoever, whether it was NASCAR or Darlington Raceway, came out and said, "We are running the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And then I think the next year was the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of got in the 90s.
And now it's just kind of like throw back to whoever you want.
Yeah, and I think it was Chase Elliott that said, he's like, at what point are we just going to throw back to my paint scheme in 2018? You know, or something like that. Like, it doesn't, like, what was it? A couple years ago, a driver threw back to himself.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, So I don't know if the idea of a throwback weekend has kind of just sizzled. I mean, NBC, when they did the throwback weekend during September, which I understand why they separated them, because the Southern 500 has its own excitement around it with Labor Day and all that,
right.
Whereas now, like, the May race was kind
of
like...
And Darlington's also, like, the first race of the playoffs now,
yep.
So...
Yeah, so that's kind of its own thing. But, like, when NBC covered it, when Fox covered it a couple times, they would go all out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had the retro graphics, and they had this, and they would bring back, like, a Darrell Waltrip or something like that. And now it's just kind of like, welcome to Darlington.
Well, now
let's
race. Well, now it's just because, like, a lot of teams don't do one. Like, Busch didn't have a throwback on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm trying to think, like...
But that's
I don't know. I don't know. Did Priest have one?
I don't think so. But that's what I'm getting at.
Based on the scheme, it looked like it was a throwback one. But at the same time, it looked like it would just be that sponsor scheme.
But that's what I'm getting at, I guess, is the idea of if we're going to do a throwback.
Carson Hosefire didn't have one either.
If we're going to do a throwback, it's all or nothing.
Yes.
And when it started, it was all in.
Mm-hmm.
Broadcast did it. You know, they had the Ned Jarrett, Dale Jarrett, and Ken Squire do stage two, you know, during it. Like, and you got to hear Ken Squire calling the Southern 500.
I say NASCAR next year throws it back to just having the Gen 5 cars again.
Pull out just those one cars. Gen
no,
6.
Except
let's have the COTs come back out.
Instead of just throwback weekend, just throw it back to those cars and just run those cars all year.
So, like, I guess that's my question to you is, has throwback weekend run its course, and does NASCAR and or Darlington need to just be like, you know what?
I mean, it is cool, like, you know, because it's not, you know, like, it's what makes NASCAR different, you know, because it's like, oh, throwback. But, I mean, it's definitely not the same anymore because it's just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I think.
Like, Denny Hamlin threw back to Carl Edwards. Denny Hamlin was teammates for Carl Edwards, like, most of his career.
But he threw back to the Roush Penske. paint
scheme. Oh, yeah, true.
Like, and, like, although I have no issue with that, it was kind of funny because it was like, if we think about this, you're throwing back to Roush, different organization, Ford, different manufacturer. Like, it was like, hold up. Like, I don't know. It's just, I love the idea. But my thing is, if we're going to do it, we're going to go all in. Mm-hmm. Everybody. TV, right. Sponsors, everybody. And make it so that if you don't do it, it's weird. Whereas this weekend it was, why is there 10 cars with throwback schemes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like, make it so that like if you don't do it, it's weird. Not if you do it, it's weird.
Like, it's cool that Fox, like, the cars that had throwbacks changed the numbers. So, like, it was the throwback font. So, it wasn't, like, regulars. Hamlin's number, Bell's was a different one, mm-hmm. which was cool. But it was just like, oh.
It was like.
Like, I watched qualifying when Chase Elliott's car pulled out and Mike Joyke, like, was talking about the throwback and they pulled it up. I'm like, that is not the same scheme. It's like, there's, like.
Well,
not even the same color pattern on Chase's car that that he was throwing it back to.
And I think that's the other thing here, and this is something that I don't think anybody has necessary control over, is that all those paint schemes are sponsored approved.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not just the guy sitting at the paint shop going, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It's they create something, then they send it to DeWalt or send it to Home Depot or send it to Lowe, whoever it is, and they say, yes, this fits that looks good. You know, and it might be that then the race team can vary it a little bit.
Right.
You know, like, it's not like they have to be under lock and key the whole time, but it's something like this where it's a throwback. That team that sponsor is approving it. And, like, that's kind of where I'm at is in the idea of, okay, we're going to throw back to this paint scheme. I would hope that the sponsor understands that and says, okay, for this one race, it's not going to look like our exact colors.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to get to the point where the teams want exact colors, then get rid of throwback weekend. Like, sponsors want exact colors, right. Then get rid of it.
Which is, I think, what the issue is now, because Universe, I think, is green and gray.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the scheme that Chase Elliott threw back was green and black.
Right.
So it was like, oh.
So, like, and I guess that's my point, is I would like to believe that Universe would be okay with one weekend of it being green and black.
Right.
And maybe you add in like a gray accent or something, mm-hmm. but if they weren't, and I'm not saying they were or weren't, but if they weren't, then don't do a throwback.
Right.
You know, and again, I'm not saying that that's what happened,
mm-hmm.
but there's so many factors that it's like, if you're going to do throwback weekend right, how do you do this? And when they did it the first time, they got everybody on board. Now I wonder if it's like, meh, whatever. And it's just kind of like, I think regardless, you're going to get people in the grandstands. You know, I mean, it's probably one of the first times that people, like one of the first sporting events to happen in South Carolina right now. You know, for the year, because outdoor sporting event.
Because,
yeah. You know, the winters are down there, similar to up here in New Hampshire, where it's kind of cold.
Except there, cold is like, oh, it's 40 degrees, 50 45. Degrees. Oh, no.
But
where,
like,
us, it's like, oh, it's negative 150 degrees. Oh, no.
But, like, and like, that's the other thing. This race used to be on Mother's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So they would run it on a Saturday night. Now it's on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I think.
So it's like.
And throwback weekend, like, for a night race, is just perfect. At least for me.
I mean, I think we need to fix throwback weekend to begin with. Before, it doesn't matter if it's a Saturday or Sunday.
Oh, yeah,
we need to. Because, so here's something. And this was something that made me go, what? The end of the Xfinity race, they're doing the interviews on pit road. And behind them, I guess they're doing, like, the classic car parade or something. I don't know if you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I'm going, what are we doing? Is that going to happen before the Cup race?
It did not.
Okay. Then why are we doing it then? Because they showed a couple, like, the track of with the line of cars as CW was, like, going to break or something. And there's nobody in the grandstands.
I know.
It's like, whoa, wait.
Why are you doing it after?
Yeah. Like, it's like, hold on. So it just, and maybe that was different. Maybe that was, like, NASCAR or
bring back Victory Lane interviews.
Darlington was like, okay, we're going to do this at this time. I don't know, but it was just weird because it's like, if we're doing a throwback weekend, that should be fact. Like the Daytona 500 has the like Fox covers a song of the pre-race concert. Like they make it a thing. Same deal. You know, if you're going to do a throwback weekend, make it its own standalone
right.
event.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know. That's just my take on it.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say.
You said victory lane interviews, but I...
No. Yeah.
It's a little off topic.
Yeah. It was just throwback weekend.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what I was trying to... I had a thought in my head, but I forgot like what I was... It was like a connecting point, but I completely forgot. It's going to annoy me now. Mm. I'm probably going to remember once we stop the show. Oh, I know what I was going to say.
Have a good day.
I mean,
I don't know. When they first did it, the first couple of years, it was exciting.
Yeah.
But, and I understand that you have to do like a decade, right? You can't be like, we're going to throw it back to 1971 mm-hmm. because not, depending on the year, there might not have been 40 cars, you know, 40 different paint schemes, you know, or something like if you do the 70s, then teams can pick from, you know, they have a wide variety to pick from.
Oh, I remember what I was going to say now.
Hold it.
Yeah.
So I get where they came from, where they were like, okay, we're going to do, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s. Okay, we're 4 years into it, and we're back up to current time. So, like, I don't know. I don't know how to fix that. But okay.
This wasn't throwback weekend. This was just Jamie McMurray weekend. He had like five schemes that were thrown back to him.
Right.
It was like, yeah, Jamie McMurray.
Love that for Jamie McMurray. Yeah. But at the same time, when this event started, that did not happen.
And one of the best ones was Carson Quapples, because like the Bass Pro Shop car that Jamie McMurray won in the Daytona 500. I looked at him like, that's the same car.
That literally was.
What makes it easier too is Xfinity cars are numbers on the center of the door. So just like, looks like. Looks identical.
Let's change topic before Jordan goes on a rant about post-race interviews and door numbers.
That's all I wanted to say.
I could see it now.
But victory lane interviews, love those.
But
at the same time, though, front stretch interviews, like every time like Hamlin wins or something, you hear all the boos. It's great.
So,
or like Kyle Busch when he was winning. Or Kyle Busch when he was with JGR, I should say.
So I don't know what NASCAR needs to do. I don't know if there is anything to do. It seems like it's kind of losing its appeal. The racing on track was not great for the first two stages. It was a good ending, but let me put it this way, because I want your opinion on this. The racing on track on Sunday wasn't great only because Byron dominated.
Yes.
Nothing else. The track, it's like there were some good battles around the racetrack. Like there were some good side by side racing, but it was just the fact that Byron was putting on a clinic
mm-hmm.
that everyone was like, boo. But like I said, it wasn't anything other than that, because we've sat here and said that, you know, racing is not great because of X, Y, and Z. This race yesterday was just not the best because Byron put on a clinic. So.
And the thing with Fox is they show the leader a lot. So, mm-hmm. like, they don't go to a lot of the battles, like, unless it's, like, late in the stage. So, it's just like, cool.
Mm.
Oh, there goes Byron again. Oh, there's Byron again. There he goes. It is cool. It was cool having Greg Biffle in the booth though. Sleeveless Greg Biffle. All
right. So, any other thoughts on the Cup race?
No.
Okay. So, looking ahead, NASCAR.
The Speedway Classic. Oh, wait. That's in August.
Is headed to Bristol. Food City 500. If I'm not mistaken, all three series are there this weekend.
So that'll be Trucks Friday night. Probably Xfinity Saturday afternoon. Sunday is probably, Sunday's Cup.
IndyCar in Long Beach. And I'm not sure where Formula One is. Hang on. Formula One's next race.
All right, Goodyear.
They're in Bahrain.
All right, Goodyear. Bring the same Bristol tire you had last year.
That is such, like, race. So I think people are starting to understand that when NASCAR, when Goodyear goes to do a tire test, they're guessing what the tire track
also,
is going to be.
Well, I also think a lot of people are starting to realize that it's not Goodyear's fault anymore. It's NASCAR's.
Well, but what I'm saying is, like, last year, the Bristol race was insane.
Yeah.
And it was a good insane. And everyone's like, Goodyear, that's what we want. And Goodyear's like, we didn't mean to do this.
This is what happened.
because they anticipated, I think, it would be like 20 degrees cold or warmer or something.
Yeah.
Like, and it didn't happen that way.
And Goodyear was just like, I don't know if we can how we can pull that off again.
Yeah, like, and that was the thing. Like so we talked about a couple weeks ago how NASCAR is going to do a tire test here in Loudon in the near future. We don't know when, but they're trying to replicate what the weather is going to be like in September.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be here in 2 weeks. They might be here in the beginning of May. I don't know. But there's somebody at Goodyear saying, hey, historically, May 3rd and September 21st are the same temperature or whatever. So NASCAR is going to come here to Loudon, do a tire test to try and figure out what the track and temperature is going to be for September. I'm not trying to say it's a guessing game, but there are some times where it's a guessing game. And I think people need to keep that in mind because Goodyear's going to come to Bristol this weekend with the equipment that they believe is what needs to be run on April 13th on a concrete track. And there's a chance that the track is not what they think it's going to be.
Right.
So that's exactly what happened last year. So just keep that in mind.
Right.
But I'm excited. It should be a good race.
And Denny Hamlin's going to be looking for three in a row.
Yep.
He's always a driver to watch at Bristol. And as well as like Kyle Larson, as he is on like every track that's not a super speedway.
Nice.
Or Loudon.
So we'll have five races to cover, and as well as the Northeast Classic weekend next week for next week's show.
So in total, like 11.
Jeez Louise.
Because there's six races at the Northeast Classic. That's if Mother Nature actually wants us this time. is going to let us.
We'll be fine. We'll be fine.
But hopefully it just rains enough this week where it just like it doesn't rain for like a solid like till like August.
No rain. No rain this week.
No rain.
None. All right. So any other thoughts?
I don't have.
Okay, we'll just wrap up a little early here then.
Well, there wasn't much to talk about.
No.
Usually, like, you know, like, oh, yeah, cup race was good. This happened. It was just like, oh, nothing happened until four laps ago in Darlington, so.
Well, overall, Formula One race was exciting. Xfinity race was exciting. The end of the race for the cup race was good. Looking forward to a busy, busy weekend next week. Again, yeah. Formula One, IndyCar, NASCAR Trucks, Xfinity, and Cup. So five races right there.
I'll see you at the Northeast Classic.
And the Northeast Classic.
I'll see you there. You better be there.
On this weekend.
You better be there.
We'll see.
You have nothing else going on.
Oh, I got plenty of stuff going on.
Okay.
We'll have to see. I might be building a dugout this weekend.
Building a dugout.
Don't worry about what I do on the side.
All right. So that's going to take Devin like a month because he's going to be like, I don't know how to build a dugout.
I'm the president of a nonprofit softball organization here in the league.
We do
some things.
Or Devin will say he built it, but in reality, he had like four people come over that knew how to build dugouts.
Oh, that's exactly what's happening.
And Devin just overlooked it and goes, I built it.
That is exactly what happened. Yeah. You know what I'm doing? I'm doing social media.
Yeah.
Hey, smile. Great.
Oh, we're getting the dugouts all built up.
Selfie. What's going on in the story?
It's just like when you see DPPG posts on Facebook and it's like a statement and it says, oh, from the social media admin. And it's like, Devin, that's literally you.
Although I will say I had an intern who did social media for us and they were doing it. It wasn't me. It was them.
Oh.
Legitimately. But yes, there are a couple times where I post or DPPG will post a quote from Devin and it's like, oh, they quoted Devin. It's like, no, Devin quoted himself.
He quoted that as he was saying it.
Yeah.
He actually just did text to speech for that one part.
There I am on the computer going, what do I want to say?
He did text to speech.
There we go.
He did text to speech with it.
Yes.
Just because he was like,
speech to text on that one.
Oh, yeah. Speech to text. Jeez. I don't know.
Siri, write this out for me. All right. Well, Jordan, thanks for tuning in or coming on.
Tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in as well. Just ahead. I know we're looking into the future. Thanks for watching this back.
Of course.
But thanks for jumping on. For Jordan, I'm Devin. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you all next week after an exciting weekend of racing around the world.